Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Waiters Podcast. This is the comic book show where we talk about a different trade paperback every single week. My name is Nathan. Across from me is Daniel, and he's looking very shocked that I'm doing the intro.
I can't believe you just took that from
me. I'm taking a little bit of a lead, you know?
You do most of the show anyway. This is my thing.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I could do, like, you know, a little bit more during the episode, but this is all I have.
You really have it pretty good, so don't make me feel bad for taking more off of your plate. Okay. But yeah, thanks for listening in. This is going to be a little bit of a different episode because there's no news that happened this whole week, and we didn't watch anything.
Yeah,
actually, no, we didn't.
We just stared at a wall.
We're pre-recording this episode right after the Venom one because we're right now, as you're listening, if you listen relatively recently to when we post, we're being greasy grease boys in Greece.
Indeed.
Yeah, hop in the pond.
We're probably chomping on a euro.
Yeah, that's what they do over there.
And caprese or something.
A caprese. Is that Greek?
I don't know.
We're probably...
Or what's that thing where it's like fries where you put shit on it?
I don't know. We're probably eating some tzatziki sauce.
Is that Greek?
Yeah, I think so. I'll be able to tell you once we get there tomorrow.
Fries with toppings... Poutine.
Poutine.
Yeah.
Tons of poutine that we're going to be
eating. Poutine. Actually, might be like French or something. Probably. I remember it was in like Disney World at like the drinking one.
Oh, at the World. Epcot?
Epcot Center. Yeah. Indeed.
I actually know so little about Greece, so we're definitely going to learn a lot. But yeah.
Greek mythology, man.
Yeah. But because we're committed to this stupid thing that we do where we talk on the internet, we're pre-recording this episode, so it'll come out. So that there's no delays for our loyal listeners.
Time, indeed.
So shout out to all of y'all.
So this is the first week of our spooky season where we do all horror comics for the month of October.
I love this month.
This is a fantastic month. We need more themed months.
There's so many good horror comics. We should probably read more like throughout the year because there's a lot of good ones that come out. But
then what are we going to read next October?
Probably more horror books.
Right.
We'll just read the shitty ones during the year. Leave the good ones for
I don't like reading
for
shitty
our Spooktober.
Things. Yeah. Or we can just like continue spooky things.
Yeah,
that we
true.
Start on this show.
Also, a good part of October in the comics world is Inktober. I love a good Inktober.
Chris Samnee always killing it.
Chris Samnee always is an insane Batman Inktober. So follow at Chris Samnee. Wherever that's probably his at, I don't know.
Yeah,
but he's a great artist. But yeah, I love seeing all that shit from artists doing Inktober.
Indeed. Do you predict any news that will happen?
Oh yeah. What's some good news? Probably somebody will join a Substack. We've been seeing a lot of perhaps. Who's gonna join a Substack, Daniel? I think
who hasn't joined a Substack is the question.
that's a pretty good question.
Scott Snyder maybe.
Yeah, I could see him doing a Substack.
And it'll be on top of all the horror books that he's doing and all the
Comixology
that
ones that he's doing. Yeah. I could see Jason Aaron doing a Substack.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. For like, you know, he could throw some stuff on The Damned or The Goddamned, whatever what that book is, because I think he's bringing it back. But yeah, Jason Aaron comes to Substack. That's the news.
Are you thinking about like Redneck or whatever?
That was Donny Cates. He did Southern Bastards. Jason Aaron did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, not much news, obviously, because we're pre-recording it. We've used all of our news already. So this is going to be a little bit of a different episode because we're just going to go straight into the book and we won't have anything to talk about afterwards with the poll list because we've talked about that in the Venom episode. So go check that out. But we'll just... do you think we should just get right into the book here?
We should because I don't know what else to do.
Okay, yeah.
We are reading Something is Killing the Children.
Who's this by?
Written by James Tynion IV.
Mm-hmm.
Illustrated by Werther de Ladera. Colored by Mikael
Muerto.
Yeah. Lettered by And World Design. Oh, I thought that was a real name. I was like, yeah, man. That's a name.
Yeah. Pretty awesome book, honestly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things. I think this is Eisner... nominated or won?
I think it's won.
I guess I never really go into anything with too big expectations, so I don't really want to get let down. But
true,
I thought this is super solid.
Yeah,
definitely for and basically lives up to the hype.
Yeah, I think it's just a really good name. Like, I'm not always crazy about like sentence names,
know.
But Something is Killing the Children. It's like, oh man, what's killing children? That's got to be a bad thing, you know.
The only thing I didn't like is, like, it took a couple pages to get like the main character's name when they're obviously throwing names out. And so I was just like writing, oh, the kid or whatever. And then another main character, it took a minute to get to. And so that was just kind of like annoying for me. I get like for it to have like natural storytelling is that like the names might just come later.
Yeah.
But that was just like a little tedious for me.
I could. Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Because like at first there, so it starts off issue one, a bunch of kids having a sleepover. They're playing Truth or Dare.
Mm-hmm.
And the only name that's thrown out is Noah. The main character is this kid. It turns out his name is James, but that doesn't come out for like a bit.
Yeah, I don't think I noticed that because you are right. They throw out Noah and they throw out another kid's name, but they get killed. So like
So
like we don't really need to know what their names are.
Yeah, he tells like a spooky story about this thing that he sees. Something, a figure that's like taller than a tree, has very long fingers and sharp teeth.
Yeah.
And then he's also talking about some creepy place that's like a ravine under a bridge that's like on his property or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he was speaking about was like just a dream that he had, the creature. But then we turn to like the next page and he's in an interrogation room at the local police station explaining what happened that night.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was just telling about his nightmare.
Yeah.
And he has no idea how like all of his friends are murdered.
Yeah. All of his friends are dead. He's got blood on his shirt and he's like, it was just a dream. I was just telling them about a dream. All of them died. And I feel like James Tynion has a pretty good like grasp on the bullshit of just truth or dare, like playing truth or dare with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's always like, if you choose dare, then you're like running around naked somewhere.
Yeah.
But if you choose truth, it's just like, that's a cop out.
Yeah.
And I think that's represented very well here.
Yeah.
I just think that that's pretty funny.
He's like, hey, I had to run around naked. And then the other kid asks like, what's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you? Whatever.
You've ever done. Whatever.
I would definitely wouldn't bring that up.
Yeah.
I'd be like, who do you like? Or whatever.
I'm surprised that wasn't in here.
Yeah, I know.
Which one of our teachers would you fuck? Something like that. Like,
murder, fuck, kill.
Also, the main character's name is James.
Right.
And the main character looks very similar to a particular writer of this book.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely just James Tynion as like a little kid,
yeah,
right?
Hey, can you just draw me? This is a picture of me as a 12-year-old.
I can. Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, that makes it easy.
I noticed that immediately because I know what James Tynion looks like.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, this is just him.
I wasn't like really thinking about that. I was just kind of like really trying to dive into like this new world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yeah, I like when it jumps to like James in the interrogation room and like how tired he looks.
That's also the writer's name. Okay.
Yeah. James Tynion.
Did
and, like,
he live this? Is this
maybe
based on a true story?
It could be. Maybe he like is trying to sell it for a movie and he wants to cast himself somehow.
Yeah. I mean, I hear on comics Twitter all the time that people get like creators get really pissed when people make comics to just be like a pitch for a movie or a show.
Typically they
do.
And
it should just be like the medium itself.
It should exist best as a comic.
It should be written as a comic to be a comic. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
I doubt that that's what the intention here was.
Yeah, no, but he's definitely got like the talent. And I think this book has enough firepower in order to do that.
Exactly.
But anyway.
I think it was picked up in some form or another.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. But yeah, I just like how shocked and like tired James looks when it like cuts straight to the interrogation room.
Yeah.
Because he is just like clearly in shock about what happened.
It's definitely got to be like the next morning.
Yeah. But he tells the cop that the story that he told was made up and when his friends went out into the woods. But James didn't see anything that happened because he had slipped and fallen down the ravine that he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And all he heard was screaming. But then we cut to the focus, kind of another like main character of the story, which is Erica. You don't find out her name later, which I do agree is a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
But
I like the mystery kind of thing because I was just calling her like the hunter for a minute. Because she like comes out of like the woods in this like...
She's all bloodied.
She's got these two like machetes and she's got like this like...
the sweet mask.
The sweet like almost like ski mask, snow mask kind of thing that's got like teeth on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass.
Super cool.
Her cosplay would be so fucking cool.
I would love that.
No one would know like who you are, but...
I would notice.
We would know. And
I need
look
is
really
like
cool.
A blonde that... like is covering one eye with her bangs and then like super heavy like eyeshadow
right
makeup eyeliner.
You get this face mask and a couple bloody machetes, you just gotta
you're
kill
good.
A couple people,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah, easy. Yeah,
that's a great
Everyone's got a wife beater.
I should cosplay as that.
Yeah, just be the dude one.
Yeah. So yeah, she's coming out of the woods and was just helping out this other girl with like her monster problem, basically. And Erica gets a call and is told to go to Andrew's Peak, which is where James lives. But something that happens a lot in this book, which can kind of land and sometimes kind of not, is like a double page spread of dialogue panels.
I like that a lot, actually.
I think it works so well in this book. Yeah. I think that can be kind of hard to balance sometimes, but there's like a good mix of quick dialogue in the panels and silent mm-hmm. panels to where yeah. like reading it that way feels very natural.
Yeah, so you kind of like blow through this. There's really no reason for it because it just works really well.
But I think he recognizes that like the rest of this scene and dialogue and exposition is probably going to take up about 2 pages. So he just like makes the whole double page spread like that page.
Yeah, for sure.
So James is like getting bullied and accused at school for killing his friends, which takes him to the principal's office after some choice words that he shares. And then the principal is like having a hard time dealing with the multiple incidents of children disappearing. And he doesn't know what's going on, but it's clearly affecting the school.
What's really weird is that they had pictures of all the victims like out in front of like the stairs in yeah. the front of the thing with a bunch of flowers.
That's not
really weird.
Not a good thing to see going into school.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of in bad taste, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it
would scare the fuck out of me.
Yeah. I don't think that'd like really happen, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Cause it's not like anything that bad that happens in like school now. It's not like they get posted up on a board, you know?
Yeah, and then the bully was, like, talking about how a character, Carl's, his, like, intestines had to be pulled out of a tree.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you a hint on, like, how gruesome these murders were.
They really are, yeah.
And so it seemed kind of, like, strange for this bully to just automatically assume that he did all that.
He thinks that James did it because he knows that James is, like, gay or bi or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks that James did it because that James's friend like didn't like him back the same way, so right. that was like his theory, and I was like, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I'm like, that's quite a jump.
Yeah, it really is. So he's getting like bullied and all sorts of stuff because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Erica shows up and finds James after school, and James tells her what really happened that night, and we see like the full scene that happens, like really gruesome and uncensored. But he saw his friends basically get ripped in half and slaughtered by like this monster, and Erica says that she hasn't handled, but James wants to help as well. But yeah, that like that whole scene where he recalls everything that's happening, he's basically telling her what happened, but we see the actual scene.
Yeah.
And we see his friend like Noah, I think, and he's just like crawling towards James, but he doesn't have a lower half of his body.
Yeah.
And like there's another kid who's like got his fucking like jaw ripped out or something.
With his arms.
And it's like, it's really crazy because like What's strange is that you don't see a lot of violence happening to kids in comics or in like fiction a whole lot.
Yeah.
But this book does not hold back.
No.
So it's very interesting to see that, because like I feel kind of dirty like reading a book like this, but I can't imagine what it's like to write that, describe that, draw it, color it.
Super brutal.
So it's kind of it's very interesting. So yeah, just the fact that James had to like experience that obviously would fuck you up as a kid as well.
Yeah, it and the creature is like this like obviously big black thing with like a spider like lower half is what it looks like, with like 4 legs, and
yeah,
then it kind of looks like a minotaur in a way, where the way his like upper body and torso come up,
and it's got long arms with like spikes at the end of them.
Yeah, so and his face, I just like, I don't even really know how to describe, like 20 eyes and like a bunch of like teeth and shit.
Yeah, pretty unreal.
Freaky shit, and it's not like too complicated.
No,
I think this would like be something that could be in a nightmare.
Yeah, like, and you so see it and you're like, okay, I know what this is.
Yeah.
So, and I'm glad that we see the monster. I'm glad it wasn't like one of those books where it's like, oh, what's it gonna be,
dude? The fucking I Kill Giants book.
Yeah,
no giants. There's like one giant.
What?
Yeah,
it's I Kill Giants, plural.
Yeah, man. There's like one giant.
The book isn't called...
It's like a page.
The book isn't called I Kill One Giant on one of these pages.
It's not I Kill Giant.
I Kill a Giant one time.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, like, that's why I was, like, a little bummed, because I thought it was just be this little girl just, like, wrecking a bunch of giants, but it wasn't. It was, like, mostly... Like, obviously, there's a ton of themes about it and stuff like that and underlying messages.
I've heard good things about it for the most part.
Right, which is why I read it, but not what I expected.
Interesting. But, yeah, I like that I think it's like a solid last page hook there at the end. Like, we clearly see James is like a bit of an introverted character and kind of like keeps to himself. So the fact that
scarred too.
Yeah, and a bit scarred. But I think we also see kind of like in his body language and his character, he's just kind of like kind of stays to himself. So the fact that he wants to help like kill this monster shows that he's pretty fired up about the whole situation.
Yeah, that's like super fucking brave.
Yeah.
Because if I saw that, I'd be like, no way. Like, I'm not leaving the house.
You do you. Yeah, exactly.
Homeschooled.
So chapter two, this issue introduces us to Tommy, who is the brother of one of the missing children in Archer's Peak, the whole town. He's going to his job as a restaurant manager, but his mom wants him to continue putting out flyers looking for the missing Sophie, which is the missing child. And as he leaves to go get into his car, we see the monster right in front of Tommy, but Tommy doesn't seem to see it. So, like, one, we get, like, another interesting perspective about this world. Like, what about the repercussions of, like, a family that has to deal with this?
Uh-huh.
So, immediately I can kind of see what Tommy's character is about. But, like, this splash page tells us so much in just, like, one visual moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly there's a monster in front of Tommy, but like in this panel he's like, is anybody there? And there's like this huge like monster like kind of arching over him.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh fuck, so only kids can see this thing.
Yeah, so at first I was like, oh, only kids can see this thing, and that's what like Erica is. I just thought she was like a some kid who she like, seems like is a hunter. She's like smaller looking.
Mm-hmm.
But people keep like referring to her as like older. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like
they explain why.
Yeah, they explain why. But I thought it was just like a kid monster hunter. I'm like, that's badass.
It's like a cool and simple concept too. Like, kids are always, you know, making things like scary noises or whatever. They're like attributing it to monsters. But then adults are always like, no, there's no such thing as monsters. So like the premise of like only kids can see the monsters and like the adults still won't believe it.
Yeah.
Know it's happening. And then those monsters actually like killing children. It's like, it's such a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
So Erica and James go to Applebee's. I like that a lot. It's clearly Applebee's, but called Applebee's here.
Uh-huh.
And Tommy happens to work there, but Erica like gives him some money for like a booth in like the corner. And Erica starts to plot out everything that's happened so far with James. And Erica isn't really answering any questions about herself. She just says that she's done this kind of thing before. And then Tommy finds out what they're plotting and sort of confronts them, saying that he's like Sophie's brother, one of the children missing. And Erica and James end up leaving, but Tommy calls in some suspicious activity with the sheriff.
Well, he doesn't like hear what they're talking about. He's just like assumes that they're involved.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And so he like comes up and he's like, what are you guys talking about? And he gets kind of like confrontational with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that Erica like clearly knows how to handle herself, because she like slams him into the table and like locks his arm kind of deal. So I like that. Also Applebee's just made me laugh. I think that's funny.
Yeah.
And I also like the scene when he goes to confront them. Tommy was like, or Erica calls him Tommy, and Tommy's like, how the fuck do you know my name? And then she's like, it's on your name tag, idiot. So I was like, that's just such a funny scene. And, it almost like took me out of it a little bit. I was like, that's pretty funny actually.
Yeah.
So Erica that night goes back to her motel, and she pulls out like a stuffed octopus thing and talks to it, saying that this monster is like a class E7, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And the octopus seems to talk back. But then the sheriff pulls up to the motel and knocks on Erica's door. And she opens the door and we see a glowing figure behind her to end the issue. So clearly another type of monster that only children can see.
Yeah, it just like projects some sort of octopus like spirit person thing.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy looking.
Yeah, so like it's pretty cool. I think James does a really good job of keeping Erica like mysterious at this. Mm-hmm. Point we still don't know her name, which is a little bit annoying, but like,
right,
we know that like she's done this before, she's good at fighting, and she works with like this mysterious figure, and like she also just has like $50 in her backpack at all times,
right, just in case.
That's a sketchy person.
right.
So yeah, also like just the octopus, like a stuffed octopus, I think is pretty funny, like counterpart character to like talk to.
It reminded me of Magic from like New Mutants.
Yeah,
like in the movie where she's just talking to like the dragon doll. What's the dragon called?
Oh, don't do this to me. Fuck, I should know this. I gotta look it up. Lockheed.
Lockheed.
Yep,
that's a hard one.
I should know it because it's like similar to Lockjaw, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Lockjaw. But anyway, chapter 3. So we see the scene of another child getting attacked by this monster.
In a house.
In a house. I assumed it was Sophie, but ends up not being.
Right.
And it attacked some other children as well. Like there's another kid just like dead on a bed as well. So some pretty shitty things happening. Then we see, we cut to Henry, who's just like this random guy at a bar drinking away his grief because of his lost son. Mm-hmm. But at the same bar is Tommy, and he's talking to his friends about what he's going to do if the sheriff lets Erica go.
Right. He'll do what he has to.
Yeah. So again, with like the monster scene, like just terrifying shit happening to the children. And that's just like so cool to see in a book. But I also
you like that, Nathan.
Yeah, I like that. I want more of it.
I love when this happens.
But what's cool is that like the coloring is done so well. Like the red and like the blood really pops.
Uh-huh.
Like there's a lot of cold colors because like a lot of it happens at night. But then like when there's blood and stuff happening, that really pops because it's like a bright and like aggressive red.
Uh-huh.
So I like the way that they do that with like the monster.
Definitely.
Is this like a different monster as well?
I think it's the same one.
Okay.
But we just kind of get like a better look at it.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, but then we jump to the sheriff and Erica, and her name is Erica Slaughter, based off of her paper ID.
Sick name.
Super cool name.
Yeah, I hope that's her real name.
And like this clicked in my head. So I've read this trade before. I think I read like a couple issues past this trade.
Oh, really?
And then I like fell off. But there's another book that was announced called House of Slaughter. That's like in this. That's like a spinoff of this book.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to like explain a little bit of like what's going on at the end.
And they also talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
She mentions it.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so her name's Erica Slaughter. That's the name on her ID at least. And she's talking with the sheriff, but it kind of just turns into her asking the sheriff questions since Erica clearly has a better like handle on the situation. Like she understands what's going on way more than the sheriff does.
But she's also like not letting him know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like where she is and what she does.
But it ends up getting interrupted with the news that there are 5 more children that have been killed. And so the sheriff has to go handle that. Erica is released with no charges, but the sheriff decides to put a tail on Erica to see what's going on because she's clearly up to something.
Yeah, a couple things. So the sheriff knows that she wasn't involved because he actually saw her getting off a bus the day after like the murders happened. And then something that I haven't really decided if I like in comics is that the title is like in the book, like used in a sentence.
Okay, so yes and no, because it's not like the exact phrase, something is killing the children. Because I remember seeing that and I was thinking of that Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
He's like,
yeah, he's like snapping and pointing. Yeah.
Let me find it. Because I think it is the exact thing.
Okay, so I found it.
Okay.
There were bodies before. And then she said, before you knew, there was something killing the children.
Okay. Is missing?
Something killing the children. And this is something is killing the children. So.
Gotcha. My mistake.
Yeah. So you fucked up.
Shame on me.
I can't believe you would even bring that up. You're so embarrassing.
Yeah. But, and then she's also kind of like putting out there that if you let me go, everything will stop and you'll never see me again.
Yeah.
So she like is kind of giving away, but also not explaining herself. Which I like don't assume cops would be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I'll just let you go.
Yeah, that's not the way to get out of a situation like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, if you let me... I also like that she's like, if you let me go, the situation will stop. You'll never know what happened, which will kind of drive you crazy a little bit.
But yeah.
At least the murders will stop. And I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So...
But that could also mean, like, I'm the murderer. Now that you're on my tail, I'll, like... leave and then the murders are stopped.
That could be that, yeah. From the sheriff's perspective, definitely.
Right.
But it also seems like Erica's pretty experienced with talking to law enforcement because she's pretty prepared about the situation. She doesn't give off the feeling that this wasn't supposed to happen at all, you know?
Right.
So we kind of learn a lot about Erica this way. But when she leaves, Erica finds James sitting outside the police department. And James still wants to help Erica. So... they leave and Erica starts talking to the octopus, all pissed, not knowing kind of like what's going on. And then the octopus responds with more info about the monster, but seemingly only Erica can hear the octopus. And then Erica tells James that this is a big monster like bigger than she thought it was before. So they need to get a lot of weapons.
Yeah, I guess like the fact that it went in a house, like the last murders happened, make it a different rank.
Yeah, like something. Classifies it differently.
Yeah.
So she's like, this isn't E7, you fucking idiot. It's at least a class B or whatever.
I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I don't understand your frustration.
Yeah, but I'm like, oh, fuck, class B.
You're like, oh, man. I wonder what a class A is.
It reminds me of the game Phasmophobia.
What the fuck is that?
It's like a Steam game that got really popular last year, but you are essentially like Ghostbusters, but if it's like very scary situation.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Like murderous like spirits and stuff.
Uh-huh.
All you know is that there's a ghost or something inside of the house, and you have to use different equipment to categorize what that spirit is.
Mm-hmm.
And once you figure out what it is, that will determine how you go through with like the rest of the level.
Oh,
but it's really scary because it uses like actual voice commands. So you'll like have this like little radio transmitter and be like you'll know what the name is, and you'll say like, "Hey, James, how old are you?" And then it'll like respond to you and say like,
"I don't like that.
Old enough." Like some creepy shit like that. Or you'll say like a certain trigger phrase, and then all the lights turn off, and then the thing shows up. It's like a really, really scary game.
It sounds terrifying. Yeah. I think I'd rather just like watch you play it kind of thing.
Yeah. It's funny because there's a character that's supposed to stay in the van and sort of like watch what's happening because they can get different intel.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny like when someone just wants to be that character because they're like watching the other person get scared like through like the little camera that's on their chest.
Yeah.
It's a super fun game.
I mean, like when people do like the streaming of like horror games, like I get just as scared.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny to also watch other people like get terrified.
But it's funny to like see on like the little like screen on the van, they just like see something then immediately turn around and start running. It's pretty good. So anyway, chapter 4. Erica and James go to the popular home improvement retailer House Depot.
Indeed.
I also like that just it's not even orange. They like switch it to blue as well to try and like distance from Home Depot.
Yeah.
It's just
they'll never catch us.
I love shit like that, like in comics, because they clearly can't use Home Depot.
Right.
In a book about killing children. So
Some things there's like direct references and like actually say like chains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules on that.
I don't either.
But
they probably just prefer to like get away from it as much as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're at House Depot and they gather a bunch of sharp tools and a really dangerous chainsaw, and they also pay with cash. So
sketchy.
Pretty sketchy situation.
That's a red flag.
She's not good at the kind of hiding what they're doing.
Yeah.
But we also see Tommy go visit his dad, who's not doing too good. He's like in a trailer park or something.
It's called a single wide, Nathan.
A single wide?
Yeah, it's like what's it called? A manufactured home.
Oh.
So they're built somewhere and then they're brought. And it basically is like a trailer. Like you can
just load it up on the floor.
Yeah, you load it on like a flatbed. And then the part that's next to the ground, you just like put that in later. So
yeah, so Tommy walks in on his dad not doing too good. He's like super naked when he walks in.
Yeah, I guess he's strung out or something.
Yeah. But Tommy goes there to take his gun. So like he just has this gun now.
Right.
So we see the sheriff investigate another crime scene with children, and no one there really knows what the hell's going on because there's like blood everywhere. There's like a giant hole in the wall, but there's no tracks like on the floor. So if it was an animal, it wasn't leaving any tracks.
And like none of the furniture is moved.
Yeah, exactly. So the sheriff at that scene gets a call from a mysterious figure saying that he'd like to help him, and he clearly knows Erica. Mm-hmm. So another mysterious figure, but then Erica and James are out in the woods and they're going to find the monster's den, and James convinces Erica to let him go with her. And off in the distance, we see the tail from the police station that was put onto Erica. He sees them walk into the forest with a bunch of weapons. So he's like, what the hell's going on here? But then the sheriff calls him and tells him to back off without any reason.
Yeah.
But, so was that because of the guy that called the sheriff, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. But he still can't give any reason. But then Tommy shows up and then knocks out the tail anyway. So it's like, God damn it.
Yeah, there's also like a bit of the lore here where we find out like only kids can see the monsters because they kind of believe in them.
Yeah.
And that James will like eventually forget about like how to see monsters like when he's older.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you think Erica's eye gets heavier and heavier eyeliner as we go like through the book?
I think just because there's like closer shots, but I don't know if it's like she's reapplying or anything, or like as she gets stronger, gets darker, anything like that.
But I just remember like going like on with the book. I'm just like, man, she really cakes on that like black eyeliner.
Yeah.
So I wasn't,
it helps sure like kind of differentiate her. It's not like there's a lot of blonde characters, but it helps just kind of stand out as a character.
True. But yeah. So Tommy's there. He knocks out the tail. So he's really fucking things up. So Erica finds the cave and tells James to take all the stuff and go hide because the cave is a lot bigger than it should be, apparently. So Erica gears up. She puts on her sweet mask and goes in the cave and finds that there's a big pile of dead kids there. And then Tommy shows up behind her, gun pointed to her, because Tommy thinks that it's Erica's fault that all these children's, that all of these kids are dead. But Erica can see the monster standing right behind Tommy.
Right.
And that's how that issue ends.
Great cliffhanger.
Oh my God. It's so good. Cause he's like, Tommy, just fucking cause like keep it to yourself.
You're going to fuck everything up. Yeah. He's right behind you.
She had a plan.
Cut in half.
Yeah. She had a plan. Doesn't know, didn't really know what she was walking into. And you're just a wrench in the, in all of it.
So can this thing like hurt Tommy?
I think so.
Cause it like, it's blind is what we hear, or is what we learn. But it only really hunts children.
I think it only hunts children. I think it can hurt Tommy if it really wants to, because it can interact with like the physical world.
I guess
world.
It can hurt her.
Yeah.
So, and she's an adult. So, but it's like, if you don't believe in it, can it harm you?
Kind Maybe. Of thing. It could be an it thing. Yeah. But yeah, this cave scene is like really brutal. Like there's just kids chopped up in all sorts of ways.
I know. Into this like little kid lasagna thing. It's brutal.
It is bad.
It's like a children casserole.
And like Erica has this like glow stick, so like the whole cave is like really green, and I think that's colored very well.
Yeah, like all the shadow, all the lighting on the rocks and stuff.
Yeah, everything is green and looks pretty cool. And I wonder if like if they, because I think this book started coming out during COVID, I want to say, but I wonder if they ever like made COVID masks with like the teeth design like Erica has.
That'd be a sick merch idea.
Like it seems like it would be a great opportunity for merchandising, so please hire me, James Tinian. Because you know I got lots of ideas, but yeah, you know that'd be really cool.
You know what I thought about today or recently is that like publishers like don't really do a great job with like promoting things like books, like because I heard of this because it was like just be nominated for stuff, you know what I mean? And like when you, I follow like Image Comics like on Instagram, and sometimes I get like a couple covers here and there, but like that's it. If they just posted like the cover and then some social media guy was like reading some blurb about what it, this book is about, like the blurb can be written by like James Tinian so that there's no spoilers or anything like that. Just so like, cause just the name and cover, that's like how things were sold in the heyday or whatever.
Yeah.
But nowadays you can be like, yo, this is what this is about. It's been written by this person, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know if
just so I can like have an idea of what it is, because like Image shit or Boom or whoever this is will like just put it out, and I'd rather like things have to be kind of like sold in a way.
Yeah, it is an interesting conversation, because I think we're very like the way that we consume and enjoy comics I think is not typical for comics readers.
How so?
I don't think that most people going in and picking up books care who the writer or who the artist is.
Sure.
I think that a lot of it is just like buzz, like you said. But I agree, like if I didn't have Twitter, like Twitter at all, I wouldn't know most of the shit I know about comics,
because it's mostly like recommendations.
Yeah, exactly. And but like how do they connect to somebody, you know?
What do you mean?
Like how would Dark Horse try and, or I think this is by Boom Studios, how would Boom Studios get the word out about Something Is Killing the Children, you know?
Social media.
So you think, but they have social media accounts already,
but they aren't they're just saying like, oh, this is coming out, and then post the cover. You know what I mean?
Do you think like, what else can they do?
Like I was saying, like some sort of like short description of what it is and make it like a video, like a little trailer kind of thing. So that there's like some hype around it, them not just giving you the title and the cover.
True. I mean, sometimes comic trailers are a little bit weird.
It doesn't have to be like 3 minutes or whatever. Just like 30 seconds. This is what this is about. Go pick it up if you're interested.
I want there to be just one guy at a publisher and that's his job.
Yeah.
And he like,
the PR guy or whatever, or
but,
like,
but I want the PR guy to just be like screaming constantly. It's like, we got this new book. It's called Something Is Killing Children.
All these kids are dying for some reason.
Oh my God. Why are they dying?
We got to find it out. And it's a horror book.
The writer also wrote Batman, by the way. So pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, And I'm sure there's so many gems out there that I would just like never hear about.
Yeah.
Unless like you just like are follow the right crowd or whatever.
Yeah. Comics marketing is definitely weird.
I feel like it could be improved, and it's, I just like, I'm not hearing about all these things.
Maybe digitally. I mean, I feel like a lot of them put, previews like in the back of books, or they'll have like ads
that's like
in the book,
that concept is so ancient.
Kind of, but like also they'll also like publish the free previews at comic book shops.
Sure.
So sometimes comic book shops will even like put those free previews in your bag with you.
Sure. Yeah,
and I'll look through those occasionally. But yeah, I think digitally that there's probably opportunity to do a lot better.
They could do like, you know, those page previews like on the gram or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that, I guess maybe not everyone's like following Image Comics.
I guess
or
not.
Even like just like what the fuck is coming out this week? Because we have to go to some app that isn't even 100% accurate. Or like Google it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like go on the website to actually figure out what's coming out.
Yeah, it feels like there's not like a great solution to see what's coming out.
Yeah, because like
that's like super accurate all the time. Because
there's so many like publishers and stuff gets delayed. But
yeah,
like if Marvel posted like every Wednesday or every Tuesday or whatever, like what's coming out.
Well, they do their solicitations, but those are like 3 months out.
Yeah, and then you have to get them at the shop.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
I
just
do.
Like it's not like evolving. And if I heard a description of every single book that was coming out, I'd probably like buy way more comics. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Just because I know what something is about and like what the kick is.
Yeah. But
and,
I think
like, when you like tell me to read a book, you kind of like sell it to me. You tell me what is in there.
Yeah.
And why I should read it. And I don't know why that's not in marketing.
That should be on the back of like first issues as well. It's
yeah.
Like, here's the premise.
Yeah. That could work too. But then you also have to pick it up
in
order to do that based on the cover and the title.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel about it. I just got really mad about that because everything.
Because you're reading this and you're like, this is good. Why didn't
I
know about
this? Yeah, this is good and I'm upset about it. Like, yeah, an award is like something.
I love this and I wish I loved it sooner.
You have to wait for something to get awarded in order to start reading it. Because what if it got canceled before it got an award?
Right.
Because awards aren't based off of sales. It's based on how good it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I don't know. Hire me, Image.
It's a whole thing.
I'll change the game.
You'll just create a TikTok for him. Which could work.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah. That could work.
Yeah, good. I can see that working. Anyway, chapter 5.
All right, everybody.
So James is outside the cave and he's getting scared because he's remembering the night that his friends died. He sees like a dead deer and he's like, that dead deer looks like my dead friend. And he remembers that night. And then Erica's like stuffed octopus starts talking to James and convinces him to go save Erica because he's got all the weapons that they bought at House Depot.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, that's a good point. That's a fucking
like
good idea.
The chainsaw that she took.
He's like, I should not listen to what Erica said and go in and try and save her.
Yeah.
So, but in the cave, Erica is telling Tommy to stop with like his dumb shit and like get out of the way. And Erica starts like fighting the monster with her chainsaw. And Tommy can, like, see blood coming out of thin air. And, like, he sees Erica jump on top of this monster. But she's just, like, floating to Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
So Tommy shoots at Erica and says that it was, like, Erica that killed his sister and stuff. But he ends up just, like, pissing off the monster because that's what he ends up hitting.
Right.
And so at one point, like, right after that, Erica was like, stop it. You're just pissing off the monster. But you'd think that like a chainsaw to that monster's legs would also piss it off. So I don't know why she's so mad at him.
I guess like the chainsaw to the leg would slow it down.
Yeah, but also piss it off.
Yeah. And then like the bullet like probably isn't enough to kill it.
Yeah.
As she's probably learned.
Mm-hmm. So Tommy continues to try and shoot her. And after they fight a little bit more, but they see that one of Tommy's bullets hit James like right in the stomach. And you just see him kind of at the edge of the cave. And he's got like this red spot coming out from his stomach. And he says, I've been shot. And when Erica tries to tend to that, another child named Bian walks out saying that, you know, she's been in this cave for like a long time. So she's a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tommy finally sees his sister amongst the pile of dead children in the children lasagna. And then Erica is like, fuck, there's a lot of shit going on here. And so Erica like prods Tommy's head with a device that like gives him visions of like this mysterious group that seems like Erica has been a part of.
It's Horde Gold from the House of Slaughter is what she like pegged him with.
How do you know that? She says it. It's Horde Gold. Yeah, I guess you're right. So I guess after doing that, Tommy can now see the monster and like everything that's going on.
Which is how like she can see it.
Yeah, but it seems like now that she's done that, she's kind of committed Tommy to being part of this group because he can now see monsters.
Because
she says that like this is kind of a one-way road, but I need to do this in order to get us out of the situation.
That's what that meant.
So I guess if you do that, then like you're just part of this group and you don't have any other choice.
Dude, I fucking knew some bad shit was going to happen to James when he started running there.
Oh, I know.
But like even when it happened, I was still like, fuck.
He didn't even make it very far.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't even know he was there.
He's like at the mouth of the cave.
Yeah, and it's just like he was trying to help and he just gets shot. You know, it feels bad. So fucking Tommy ruined everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the scene like juggles so much with like a small amount of pages.
Oh
like,
yeah. This whole issue like gets through a lot.
Like Tommy gets closure, but at the same time, he's got like a whole list of other questions now, like about that vision and about this monster that he can now see.
Right.
And now we know that Erica is like with this whole weird organization and there's like multiple people with the same design of mask and their own stuffed animals.
I mean, I figured because she gets like dispatched to this place and she keeps calling back
right
to somebody who like kind of lets her off.
Yeah, so I figured that much, but now we know a little bit more because we see like this table of people and they have their own stuffed animals that are like assigned to them
and they all get cool masks.
Yeah, sweet masks. I like the blue one.
Okay. You know, I like the gray one.
I wonder why they even with need
the stuff because they all got different teeth on them.
Yeah. Like some of the teeth are bigger at the end.
Yeah.
Or some are bigger in the middle. I do like that. So it's like, who are these people? Why do they need stuffed animals? What's going on?
Oh, this main guy, he's got like this gold grill or something.
Yeah. Looks pretty cool.
That's tough as fuck. That's scary. Anyway.
So yeah, Tommy's a part of this now. He just doesn't really know it. So Tommy has to get beyond and James like the fuck out of this cave while Erica does some slashing herself. Tommy gets to the police department guy that he knocked out earlier last issue, and he gets him to drive all of them to the nearest hospital. Meanwhile, Erica in the cave kills the monster, and then she gets a call on her cell phone and tells whoever was on the other end that this whole thing wasn't classified correctly. The monster did not have a food stash like they thought. It was a mother in a nest, and its children are now out there in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go kill them. And that's how this trade ends.
Just something kind of small that I noticed. Like, Tommy sure. has to take Beyond. Well, Beyond was, like, one of the kids, but she wasn't, like, on the list of the missing children.
Yeah.
So, who knows how long she's been, like, around or whatever.
Yeah, true. Like, how long has this monster been around, too?
And then when Tommy takes James and Beyond to, like, to the cop, he has to pick up Beyond with his hands. And then James is on his back. And I'm just like, how does that, does he hold both of them? Does James hold on? And just like how heavy that would be.
So heavy.
It's like a backpack on your front and your back, you know?
It seems like they made it pretty far into the forest too. And there's a lot of elevation change. So yeah. His thighs are probably on fire.
Easily like a half mile to the cop car.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough, man. Just running that's hard.
And this cop is like, fuck, I have no idea what's going on, but there's some bleeding kids here.
He probably has a concussion.
Yeah.
Probably not great to drive.
Yeah, probably not. It's a whole bad situation, but I like how it all kind of like comes together that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, pretty cool.
I thought there was more than one child alive. I'm like, oh, there's like a bunch of kids here, but it's just like the one.
No, they're all pretty messed up.
Yeah.
But it's cool knowing that there's like more out there that have to go get them. But yeah there's a spinoff series announced called House of Slaughter, and it looks like Tommy has that mask on.
Is it like a whole series or is it just like the Free Comic Book Day one?
I think it's a whole series.
It might just be the one shot for the Free Comic
Day.
It
could be.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But that'd be pretty cool if it's like taking Tommy's perspective too. Because he's going to have to like learn about all this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like that. He was like a dick the whole issue. So I like don't want him to be cool.
There could be like a whole redemption arc though. Because he didn't know what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Like revenge / redemption arc.
I wonder if he ever goes back to Apple Beans.
I don't know. After being like a monster hunter, I think you're just in it forever.
Yeah.
Does
he put in his 2 weeks? Or is he like, I'm just not coming back?
Just not show up.
I fight monsters now. I got a cool mask.
Yeah.
I can't be seen at Apple Beans.
Don't have to call them to tell them.
It'd be weird working at Apple Beans after just killing a monster. Like, that's all you'd think about during your shift.
Yeah, and you shot a kid.
It's like in...
Every time you look at a kid, you just think of he's got a bullet in his stomach.
It's like remember Spider in like the first like MCU Spider-Man movie? He's like in class and he's like, fuck man, I just want to be an Avenger again or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I would imagine that would be like. But anyway, yeah, that was the book. So we'll go into some back matter matters.
Back matter matters. Yeah, we got some insane cover work.
Really?
Jay Lee, I haven't seen in a minute.
Dude, Jay Lee is a great artist.
Yeah, this is a really cool depiction of Erica.
They had a really great lineup of cover artists. But we got a Jenny Frison one.
That one's sick.
Of Erica. There's a second cover by Werther Deladera.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks great. So that was the artist. There's this Ian Bertram one, and I feel like I've seen his work somewhere.
It looks like almost like someone who has done like Black Hammer.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Or
yeah.
Like some sort of children's horror book.
Yeah, I might look up.
Yeah, see what he's got.
Yeah, but what else we got here?
We got another cover by Werther. Just James, and like there's like missing flyers in the sky. Marcos Martin.
Oh, I actually own this cover. This is one of the variants that I
really
got.
That's a dope cover.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, it's really cool.
Another Werther one where it's, I think, just a sheriff in a cave looking at the octopus doll. Another Werther one where she's like in the sky about to like stab the monster.
I think I have that one.
Dude, the monster has titties.
Yeah, because it's a mommy.
It's a mommy monster. You see this though?
Mommy? Sorry. Mommy?
Mommy? Sorry.
Mommy?
Yeah, it's got four mommy milkers.
So Ian Bertram was on a book called House of Penance.
Oh,
I'm not familiar with that one, but he's done some...
I remember when that was coming out. Who wrote that? It was like... was that Orlando?
Peter J. Tomasi.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Peter J. Tomasi did...
some Superman stuff.
He did some Superman stuff, but before that, he was on Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Gotcha.
And that's how I know him. Like,
gotcha,
the
gotcha, gotcha.
Run. Yeah, he was good.
There's also some Batman stuff that he's done. He was on Batman Eternal for a couple issues.
Huh, okay. So, and I think the House of Penance thing is, like, how I recognized it.
Yeah. I think I've probably... Oh, he did some Dark Knight's death metal stuff, so I might have seen his work there. Or just in a random Batman book.
Oh, we got also a little preview of The Woods by James Tynion. I didn't realize that.
This is an older book of his, but it's also like another horror book that he's done.
Okay.
And it's about trees fucking some people up. So we get like a 2 or 3 page, wait, actually how long is this? 3 or 4 page preview of The Woods. But yeah, that one was apparently pretty successful for him.
Okay, cool. I remember that. So,
and then we get about the authors. So, James Tynion on his, he's obviously done 1.5 million things at this point. Apparently he got a award for The Woods, the one that was in the back. Meme Tick. Have you heard about that book from him?
No.
It's like a, if you like see a certain meme, then something happens to you. Is like the idea. It seems strange.
Okay.
And yeah, a couple different things from James Tynion that I didn't know he did, but he's also written Batman. So I know who that is.
Right. That's how I know.
Werther Deladera is an Italian artist. He's born in Italy, apparently.
Nice.
And he's worked on a Vertigo book called Loveness. He did the Spider-Man graphic novel, Family Business. He did a book on The Crow, and I guess he's won awards for best artist. So pretty cool.
Sick.
And the colorist, Mikael Muerto, did a very great job. It says not dead, like even before his name. So I don't, maybe people thought that he was dead.
Huh. Okay.
Or maybe it's just because of his name, Muerto.
Yeah.
It's funny. Good stuff. Yeah. Very good book. I think that for a horror book, this is a great way to start off for Spooktober month.
Definitely. We love kids in trouble.
This is definitely like a love it for me, I would say. Bordering gotta have it, I would say, but. Just after just reading Venom, like Venom has like such a strong energy, I think, for sure. Like comics. And I think that this is just like a really good horror book. Would definitely recommend it, I think, to people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's like a love it for me with like some, you know, we'll do candy corn toppings.
You monster.
I hate candy corn.
I actually like it by itself. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Like if there's like a bowl of it, I'll definitely have a couple.
No, gross.
But I won't, like, buy it, you know?
Yeah, true.
This is a pumpkin cold brew venti, Nathan, for me.
Oh, okay.
It's in season.
Yeah.
And it's what I want, you know?
I changed my answer.
I love the cold brews, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I changed my answer. I'm going to go Halloween themed candy, but it's going to be like the pumpkin shaped Reese's, but
that's like the best one.
Yeah. But, not like the big shareable size, you know, it's just the one with like the two in there and you're like, fuck yeah, I could really go for this right now.
There's two in there.
I think there's two, like, and they're like pumpkin shaped.
I thought it was just one, like the little snack size ones.
Could be one.
Yeah. When you buy like a bunch to pass out, I think it's just one big one.
Okay. We'll go M&M's. Not family size, but shareable size.
Like the fun size?
Not the fun size.
Like the one that you just buy at a gas station?
No. Like the shareable size. There's like the one shareable that
reseals?
Size. Yeah.
Oh, you. There you go.
One of those. But it's not the family size where it's that, but bigger. It's like the shareable size. And you're like hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see what you mean.
That's what this book is.
You just get normal M&Ms?
Actually, I think my favorite are like the dark chocolate or peanut butter M&Ms. Those are my favorite.
Okay.
Dark chocolate's pretty fucking fire, though.
Yeah, dark chocolate's good. I really fucked with like the mint ones and then like the coconut ones.
Did you ever try the jalapeno ones?
No.
They were all right.
Yeah.
The coffee ones are pretty solid.
Did you see that they came out with protein M&Ms?
I did, yeah.
Isn't that so sick? Yeah. I tried looking for them. I couldn't find them anywhere.
Then you give me some.
Like, I know I wouldn't like just eat this for macros or anything like that, but it's still fun.
Yeah, it's just funny to think that you're trying to get gains.
But yeah, I like this book a lot. I already downloaded the second volume.
Sweet, yeah. I would
read on the plane. So, because, you know, it was borrowable. Mm-hmm. It's on Comixology Unlimited. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Let's actually, for the pull list.
You want to just shove it in our box? Wait, what?
Let's just go, since we obviously didn't read anything since we recorded last episode, let's just say what we're going to try and read on the plane, because we got a big, long plane ride ahead of us.
Okay, for sure.
So, yeah, up. I downloaded Black Hammer, Age of Doom, Part 1.
Okay. Was that free?
That was free. I was on Comixology.
Six.
I downloaded like a bunch of Comixology stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I downloaded the second volume of the Hawkeye run from Fraction and David Aja.
Right.
So pretty good there. Torso from Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Andraco.
Oh, I read that.
Super long time ago. It was free for one day on Comixology, so I downloaded it.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck. Because
it's like one of his first books.
I was talking to our buddy Mike.
Yeah.
I was like, what are your favorite books? And he was like, Invincible and Torso.
Interesting. Okay.
And so I was like, no fucking way. And I fucking love Invincible. So I read Torso. Good book. I don't know. Maybe it was just like of the time he really liked it.
I think so.
He's like a big Bendis fan as he was coming out. So I barely remember what it was about, but
it's a horror true crime graphic novel.
You'll explain it to me. I'll be like, oh yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But I do remember enjoying that.
I downloaded a Jason book. I downloaded Werewolves of Mondeplier.
Oh yeah, that's pretty high up there, I think, with just like recommendations. I don't think I've read that one though.
Yeah, because I was like scrolling through like Comixology's like one of their categorized lists of just like
must read.
Read this shit, you know?
Yeah.
So that was on there. I'm like, fuck yeah, Jason.
Yeah, 50 I didn't pages. Even, can't go wrong.
I just like saw the cover and I saw that like lanky like dog dude and I was like, that's Jason. I'm downloading it.
Yeah.
And then
a lot of his stuff is on there actually.
Yeah.
It's just kind of always on there,
which is awesome. And then if I get to it, I really want to reread Green Lantern: The Sinestro Corps War, which
really?
Is like the big like Geoff Johns. Like,
wait, is that the one that we read?
No, that was Rebirth.
Oh, right.
But that was like the beginning of Geoff Johns' run, and the Sinestro Corps War was like the biggest, like the first big event that he did.
Right.
And that's where I remember being like, this is something crazy. So I want to reread it.
Okay.
And then potentially make you read it. So
wow.
We'll see. Because we've only done one Green Lantern book.
It's
crazy.
Like,
it's my favorite character.
We've only done one Iron Fist book.
Yeah. That's fine though.
But yeah, anyway.
What are you downloading?
So second volume of this, I downloaded Afterlifts by Chip Zdarsky.
Nice.
Jughead by Chip Zdarsky. The rest of Afterlife with Archie.
Nice.
Because I need to know. And I just remember enjoying that so much.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot.
I downloaded Gideon Falls. I have the single issues, but just something to like read on the plane.
Yeah.
I'll probably just catch up with Snow Angels because that'll just take a second.
I do also have like the Sweet Tooth like first volume still downloaded. So if I get through all that, I'll read that as well.
Like the first book or something?
Remember we like downloaded the compendium because that was like the free one? for a sweet tooth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
is it all of it?
I think it had like the first two trades, first two or three trades.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where I'm at right now with the book.
Yeah, so I might read more of that.
I got the first trade of Daredevil by Chip Zdarsky as well.
Oh, it is so good.
Yeah, I do need to get on that. And yeah, so
I need to catch up.
What else I got down in here? I have the second book of Preacher as well that I started on.
Nice.
Because I'd love to finish that. And that's about it. So that's what I got. I think that's cool. Enough.
I love reading books on a plane. So
I'm
very hyped.
I like it, but it also like fucks with my stomach.
Yeah.
So I have to like kind of take breaks and stuff like that.
True. Makes sense.
Do the best that I can. I want to love it and just like spend 8 hours just fucking reading.
It gives me like an excuse to just read.
You know? And I'm like, hell yeah. What the fuck else are you going
to do? I'm probably going to bring the first 7 issues of Crossover on the plane as well, because I have it there. And like I picked out the individual issues because one weekend I was like, I'm going to try and read this, and I didn't. But so like I have them all in the stack, so I could just grab that and put it in my backpack.
Yeah.
So I might try and read that on the plane as well.
Okay, for sure.
So, yeah. But yeah, good stuff.
So for what we're reading next week, what do we want to do?
Well, we have an idea of what we've planned out.
Should we just kind of like say we've like decided, all of them might yeah, as well?
We've decided we're going to read There Was Something That's Killing the Children, Arkham Asylum from Grant Morrison.
Right.
Gideon Falls.
Correct.
And then another one, which is...
A new one.
Oh, The Silver Coin.
Right.
Okay. But that hasn't come out yet, right?
The trade itself hasn't, no.
Okay, so not that
one.
It
comes out on the 6th.
Should we do just the Batman one now?
Yeah, we can do that because it's like Venom indie than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can do Arkham Asylum after that.
We'll just figure it out.
Yeah, we'll just figure it out.
All right, next week.
Alrighty.
A big two spooky book. We love those.
We love those.
Last year was Marvel Zombies.
Is there a lot of those?
Yeah, there's a few of them. I mean, last year we read Marvel Zombies.
Okay, name another one.
From Marvel?
Either.
Deceased.
Okay, another Marvel one.
There is the...
Deceased is just like Damnation. Marvel Zombies.
There's like a Marvel event called Damnation where Mephisto took over.
Oh,
and
wow.
There was a bunch of like Ghost Rider people that had to come in and save. It was like,
did you read it?
Yeah.
Is it spooky?
It's by Donny Cates. It's pretty good, actually.
Oh, okay.
Pretty underrated.
For sure.
Immortal Hulk, people say, is kind of like a spooky horror kind of vibe.
All right.
other DC ones, like a lot of Batman's, like
I feel like there's Constantine some solid, could probably be
Constantine. Yeah, that's a good one.
Categorizes that.
Swamp Thing, maybe that could be like a good spooky book.
It's a little spooky.
I don't know. Like, no, maybe not like spooky, but it gives like it's Halloween kind of, vibes, yeah, I would
it's
say.
Kind of, it's kind of like spooky and like an old horror movie kind of spooky, yeah. You know?
Animal Man's kind of spooky.
Yeah, it's freaky.
Yeah,
for sure.
Pretty freaky.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yep.
We got a short one for you. How long is that?
It's about an hour.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Bit of a shorter one, but we appreciate if you've listened all the way through. If you want to tell us other... big two horror books that you're aware of, you can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or at us on Twitter @tradewaiterspod. If you want to just follow me, because I'd be tweeting, I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
I'm Dan Natividad on Twitter, and we're also on TikTok now.
We're also on TikTok now
at Trade Waiters.
Yes,
and that's it.
We got some exciting stuff I think planned going forward for that. So
have some good old stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening. Have a spooky day.